If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Ephesians. I'll let you know that as a visitor, we are so thankful to have you here. I will tell you, though, I am not Pastor Chris. I am Pastor Scott. I am the family pastor, and so I am looking forward for Pastor to be back. I pray for safety on his travel back because he needs to get back. And it's kind of strange. I know when I'm gone, he's happy when I get back, and when he's gone, I am happy to have him back because we do work together as a unit. And so I pray that you'll just be ready for him to get back and that he's got his rest. But I will say this, when he first told me the week that I had, I was like, yes, I love the book of Ephesians. I will tell you, as a person that, now my favorite verse is Romans 12, 1 and 2, verses, I know this too, but you can make it one. And so I love that verse, but my favorite book is the book of Ephesians, and I know the book of Ephesians very well. And so when he told me that, I'm like, yes, it's an easy one. And I would tell you, that's a lie, it is not. Because when you come to give and present the Word of God, it's amazing that even though I have read it so many times, it still amazes me how deep God's Word is. And how God's Word, even as you've read it multiple times, you still can glean something more from it. Much like John 3:16. I think so many times we've read it so much, we don't even read it. Just to pause and just comprehend what John 3:16 is all about. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to take the task that's been given to me, and we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 15 through 20. And so if you found your place, if it's possible, if you could please stand for the reverence of reading of His Word, and then we'll get started. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 15, the Bible says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Father, we love you. And God, we say thank you for your word. God, if nothing else was done, your word has been proclaimed. Lord, that's the reading of your word. And so, Lord, I pray today that as we do walk through this, that God, that we leave from here a people that will walk a wiser walk. Lord, a walk that is pleasing to you. A walk that we are aware of our surroundings. A walk that is Spirit-filled and that, Lord, that is being used by you. Lord, may it be so within each one of our lives. Lord, the one that does not know you as their Lord and Savior. God, may they see the need through that of the revelation of your word. The need of a Savior. Lord, one that will forgive them of their sin. And Lord, that one will give them that hope, that everlasting hope that only comes from that of your Son. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As you all know, we've been walking through. Last year we did the attributes of God, and this year, my pastor, we have been doing godly living, or how do we live out those things that we know to be true to that of God's Word. And in godly living, what we've done in the past few weeks, we've seen some things, such as how we are to walk a redeemed walk or a redeemed life. How we are to walk an informed walk, a walk that we aren't just derelicts, we're not just out wandering around. A walk, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1, or verse 2, he says that we are to walk in love. That's that unconditional love. It's the love like we talked about on Sunday night, and that is where John would say the one that says he hates his brother and says that he loves God is a liar. It's impossible. There's no way, as a believer in Jesus Christ, there's no way that you and I can hate a brother and be able to say that we love God. And so that's a checkup for us. So we see then that we can walk in love. But then last week, we saw later on in chapter 5 on how we are to walk in the light, to walk in the light as a believer. Now notice that, I'm saying walking in the light as a believer, because as you and I walk in the light as a believer, then according to verses 13 and 14 of chapter 5, it causes us to be that light, and what we do is we begin to do what it says in that of verse 14, where he says, "Wherefore he saith," and this is where we come into play, church, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light." You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a place in that of the waking up those that are lost. We do have a place in that of snatching them, is what Jude would say, from the fires of hell. We do have a place in that. And what takes place here is Paul then goes after that and says, hey, you should be the one that is, wake up. Come to your senses. Do you not know what is eternal life for you? If you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will spend eternity in a place called hell. Now, here's what I do believe. I don't think that we have a proper view of hell in our churches today, because if we had a proper view of hell in our churches today, then we would want to live as a light and we would want to walk in a wiser way, because hell is eternal. And if hell is eternal, we're going to spend as much time in heaven as they're going to spend in hell. I'm looking for eternity in heaven, and I don't want no one to spend eternity in hell. So why are we not wanting to wake more people up? And so what happens is Paul, he gets into this and he says, listen, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. And Christ, notice that, that's the one that does it. You and I, we're just shouting from the rooftop. Christ is the one that gives them the light. But then when you get to verse 15, that's when he starts talking about this other walk. We got to walk in love. We got to walk in light. And then you have this walk that is a wise walk. It's a walk that is formed by that of the wisdom that comes not from that of an earthly walk. It comes from wisdom that is found only from God's word. And what happens is Paul says, see then, almost to the point that he says, see to it. It's to the point of saying that, hey, because of this walk in love, because of this walk in light, because of these lost people that are talked about in Ephesians chapter 2, the children of disobedience, no wonder that we have the shape that our world is in today, because they're governed by that of the evil one, that of the little G-O-D, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, then you and I, it's our job that we should want to walk in wisdom. But what does that look like? Well, Paul says the first thing that you and I need to do is we need to be individuals that walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. And I will promise you this, this old boy from the mountains doesn't use the word circumspectly often. But I will tell you this, my Bible would go on to tell me, if I looked that word up, that you and I, we need to be very aware of our surroundings. We need to be people that are not foolishly walking around this world almost as if we should scratch our heads that the Olympics went the way they did. Come on, church. They're lost people, and lost people do what lost people do. You and I should not be shocked at the nonsense that was paraded on the stage. But yet, those people that are in our churches that are foolishly walking around, we get shocked by the nonsense of this world when we shouldn't. You say, what does that look like, Pastor Scott? I would say it looks like this. I've seen it multiple times. You take individuals, they come and they park in the Walmart parking lot. I tell my kids, pay attention where you're at. They get out of the car, they go into Walmart, and when they come out of Walmart, they aimlessly walk through the parking lot trying to find their car. Excuse me. Foolishly walk through the Walmart parking lot looking for their car, because the days in which you and I live are very evil days, and they're just wandering around trying to find their car. And today in our churches, there's Christians that are doing the very same thing with that of their Christian walk. They're just aimlessly walking to the point that Paul says this. He says, listen, don't be fools, not as fools. I looked up the word fool so I could get me a better definition. My grandma said, don't call people a fool. But my Bible says it often. The Bible says this, that it means to be unwise. It is a negative comment here made by Paul. A fool is someone that is governed by their feelings. Church, if we are governed by our feelings, we are a foolish individual. I'll say it again. The churches are full of people that are governed by their feelings. We need to be governed by what we know to be true according to the Word of God, not by our feelings. Our feelings and our emotions will get us in a world of trouble. We need not to be governed by that of our feelings. A foolish person is someone that is governed by their desires. It's my desire. It's all about me. Someone that is governed by their passions. And they assume because they're passionate about something that it must be right. Doesn't think adequately. Doesn't consider the consequences. A foolish person, they only think about one thing at one time, and that's it. They're aimlessly, foolishly walking through Paul would tell the people in Galatia, he would say in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, listen what he says, "O foolish Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should obey the truth, because whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" And then he says in verse 3, "Oh, you foolish, you're so foolish, have begun in the, you've begun in the spirit, and you are now made perfect by the flesh." For some reason you think, because you've been saved by that of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that now some way you can do some kind of good work in order for you to obtain some kind of rich inheritance in that of Christ. Oh, you're foolish. And what happens is, in our churches today, and what Paul was talking about here, we're so easily swayed, and Ephesians 4 would say, that we're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Well, it's because we are individuals that are not grounded. We're not founded in the truth of God's word. We're founded and grounded in whatever makes us feel good or whatever hits our emotions for the day in which our emotions need to be met. So he says, listen, don't be this foolish individual. Be aware of where you're at, to the point that Hebrews 2:1 would say that you and I, we need to be focused. We need to be set straight on that of what needs to be set upon. And that is the truth of God's word. That is the life that is pleasing unto the Lord. We see then that he says, don't be foolish, but be wise. And as I looked up the word wise, it's a man who always thinks. Someone's always thinking. He does not act merely on the basis of instinct or impulse or desire. No, he is a man who insists upon the thought, the reason, and the meditation. That's a wise man. He is one who thoroughly examines, notice the word thoroughly, examines every proposition by which he is confronted or every situation into which you lead him. One that listens to all the evidence. That's a wise individual. A wise individual, because see, an unwise person reacts to their emotions, to their feelings, or, you know what, I cannot believe that she said that. I cannot believe he said that. And we go to, instead of going, wait a minute. Wait a minute, there's a proverb that says, oh, that's right. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, don't turn there, I'm going to read it. "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. He that tells the story first seems to be just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him, only to find out that you probably should have got you a couple of witnesses, or you should have got some other information before you reacted upon your foolishness." Or it could be that my Bible would tell me this, that when you speak of that of a wise individual, Proverbs 11:30 says this, "The fruit of the righteous is like a tree producing life. The one who wins souls is wise." Church, listen to me. The one who wins souls is the one that is a wise individual. It takes wisdom. Listen, it takes wisdom to win souls. It takes wisdom to go and wake somebody up. I don't know if y'all ever wake, like, you ought to go with me to summer camp sometime. Some kids wake up well. Some kids don't. Some kids come out fighting. Some kids, they just don't come out. It's crazy. But by your wisdom, you know how to approach them. By your wisdom, you know, okay, that person is a lost individual. That person needs to hear the truth of God's word. How can I share the truth of God's love? Hold on a second. In a way that is loving, hold on a second. But then also in the way I must be wise so that I can give and answer all of the questions that this disobedient child is going to have. I don't know about you, but when I had kids, young kids, still got one, I get constantly, it's the why? Well, you better be a wise individual, or you'll continue down the why path. You go, because I said so. No, that's not fair. Don't do that. We need to be wise in the way that we are walking. We need to be aware. We don't need to be aimlessly, foolishly walking through this path. Why? Because for verse 14, take me back there. Verse 14 tells me that there's people watching. There's people that need to be woken up. There's people that have lost souls that need to hear and see the truth in your life. Listen, church, it is not enough to come and fill a church pew. That won't draw people to Jesus. What draws people to Jesus is you walking a life that is a loving life, that is of a light of life, or a life of light, and that of a wise, one that has great wisdom. What happens in that, much like what Spurgeon would say, Spurgeon said this about the part of winning souls when it comes to being wise and making the most of the opportunities. Spurgeon said, "He that winneth souls is wise. I do not ask you how he did it. He sang the gospel and you did not like it. But if he won souls, he was wise. Soul winners have all their own ways. And if they do but win souls," listen to this, "they are wise. I tell you what is not wise and will not be thought to be at the last. Namely, to go about the churches doing nothing yourself and railing at all the Lord's useful servants." I'll say it again, church. What doesn't go well, what is not wise, what is foolish, is for you to go about the church, listen, go about the churches doing nothing about it yourself and railing at all of what the Lord is doing in the other useful servants. What we need to be about is we need to understand, I need to walk with great awareness. I do not need to be walking aimlessly. I need to be walking with that of shrewdness or that of great thought of where I'm going. Verse 16, because why? Paul says, listen, redeem the time because the days are evil. We must be shrewd with that of the time or the opportunities that God has given to me. Now listen, I'm going to read this definition for shrewd. Shrewd means having or showing sharp powers of judgment, astute. Now you say, Pastor Scott, why do you say shrewd? Well, because what you need to understand is if you go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, we're not going there, you can put it in your notes. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, Paul says to the people of Galatia, he says, listen, take every opportunity, notice the word opportunity, that's the same thing where it speaks of that of time here. Take every opportunity, hey, you ready? And do what is right. It's also a passage in Galatians 6 that talks about the sowing and the reaping. Church, listen to me. As a wise individual, we should want to sow. We should want to sow in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. And what takes place there, as a shrewd individual, it's as if it's like this. You ready? Some of us will go to 3 grocery stores to save $5, and I am very thankful that you do that. Don't get me wrong. That's a shrewd individual, someone that is very thoughtful and they're buying up as the best that they possibly can buy. Some of us will go to 4 different car lots to buy that one car and we'll save $1,000 and we'll spend all of that time and going and just finding that best deal on that one car. But yet we'll spend no time living out a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. And that is you and I not being shrewd and taking the most of every opportunity that God has given to you while you have that opportunity. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. What happens is in he tells us, it says, you and I, we ought to be making the most of our time. Our time matters. Church, listen to me. There's never a time that you can check out. There's always, always something that can be done at the church. As a member of South River Baptist Church, we should all be participating. We should all be taking a part of every opportunity. We should all be doing all that we can to be able to make the most of the opportunities and the time that God has placed before us. Well, why should I do that? Well, I'll tell you, as a 49-year-old man, time goes by fast. And if I wait to do it next year may not come, because my Bible is very plain to say that life is like a vapor. I could be here one day and gone the next. I love these trees in the front of my house. It's called an old Henry Magnolia, I think. I love that. They used to grow them beside the Cracker Barrels. And so what I done one day is I took that thing and I took a picture of it and I found out it was an old Henry Magnolia. Could not afford a 6-foot-tall old Henry Magnolia. They were too expensive, so I ordered one offline. But I live my life this way. This past season, they're beautiful smell. The smell is wonderful. As I smell that last one that budded, it bloomed out. I thought to myself, Lord, that may be the last time I smell that flower. You say, Pastor Scott, that's kind of doom and gloom. Nope, that's just reality. And what I want to do is I want to be found faithful, living out every part of life that my God has given to me. I want to make the most of my time. I want to make the most of my talent. I will tell you this, there's a group of men that put up with a lot of me, okay? There's a group of men, they're part of the transportation committee. And if any of them's in here, they're already laughing. What happens for us is that normally my text goes out, and that is, I have broke something. But I remind them that they, but listen, hold on. They're working on things that I wouldn't have a clue, y'all. Listen, all I know is you don't let it run out of gas. I do that. I don't know how to work on one. It's a motor. I know that if it cranks, wonderful. If it don't crank, I got to call one of them and say, something ain't right. It ain't good. And they're like, what's going on? I don't have that talent. But I am thankful today that there's six men that is on that team that is willing to come and use the talents that God has given to them, the knowledge that God has given to them, and they're using those to the best of their ability, even though they've got a pastor that will call them weekly and say that I have broke something. I remind them, if it ain't broke, I'm not doing ministry. It's like I tell the pastor, if my credit card isn't full, that means I'm not doing ministry, pastor. We need to be doing ministry. We all need to be. And what takes place here is we need to be focused, making the most of our time, making the most of our talents. And then we'll talk about the one word that no one likes to talk about, and that would be the making the most of our tithes. Yeah, it's funny how we can spend so much. We can make everything an opportunity about everything that has to do with the world. But when it comes to that of the church, we love to tip God, but we don't like to give to God. And what takes place is church, listen to me, ready? Some of us is given more than others because God sees that you're able to handle that responsibility. I believe that without a doubt. I know several men that are in that position, and God has used them greatly in that of the glory and of that of God. And I will tell you today that you and I, we ought to be looking for those opportunities. And I believe as a wise individual, if we're walking very aware of what's going on around us, we see the needs that's in our community. We see the needs that are in our church. We see, and hold on a minute, then we begin to be sacrificial, just like it was that Christ was sacrificial on that of the cross. Because remember, he died for you. He sacrificed himself for you. So therefore, you should sacrifice yourself for him. Remember, the moment that he moved in your life, it's no longer your life to live. Unlike Joel Osteen, he would tell you it's your best life. You live your best life now. I would tell you, like John MacArthur would say to him, you live your best life now and you'll spend your life in a place called hell. Church, listen, it's a life that's been given to you by that of God. You're saved, you're redeemed. You should be walking with great awareness. You should be walking with looking for every opportunity. So not only do we see then that we ought to walk with a great awareness, but we walk, we ought to be in his will. I'm not talking about the will of decree. You can go look that up. That word, it's a great word. You'd love to study that word. I'm talking about the will of command, and that is where God commands something such as this. God says, you be holy because I am holy. There's no one in this room that lives a holy, perfect life, but I will tell you this, it's God's will that you do live a holy life. So therefore, every day I'm striving to live more holy than I could or I did the day before. You say, Pastor Scott, what does that look like? Well, 1 Thessalonians is a great place to go. And 1 Thessalonians uses a word that we rarely use within our churches today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see there in verse 1, furthermore, then we beg you, beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that you have received of us how you, now notice the verbiage here, how you ought to walk and to please God. I want to know how I ought to walk. Well, if I need to know how I ought to walk, I'm not going to ask someone that's of this world. I'm going to ask that of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, how shall I ought to walk to please God? So you should abound more and more. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be growing more and more and more and more each day. If you are a saved individual and all you've done is got saved and sat on a pew, I would wonder about that salvation. Listen, you ought to be miserable, if anything. I'm telling you, you ought to be miserable because as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that is within you, that Spirit of God, man, if you are filled with that Spirit, it causes you to not be okay just sitting dead. Oh, wait, that's right. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Alive. What's what he does here? In 1 Thessalonians, I'm still there, chapter 4, he says in verse 2, for we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord. I love Paul. Paul's straight with it. For this is the will of God. Underline the word will. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You take that word sanctification. That's a word that we don't hear often, but we do hear many times we hear in South River. Sanctification is that it has a meaning of holiness or that of separation. And in the past, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God granted us justification, a once and for all, a positional holiness in Christ. That's part of sanctification. In the present, that's the past, in the present, God guides us to maturity, a practical, progressive holiness. That's good stuff. And then in the future, God will, listen to this, God will give us glorification, a permanent, ultimate holiness. These three phases of sanctification separate me, the believer, from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. And when I am being sanctified, it comes from being in the Word, though. I promise you, K-Love is not going to do it. WMIT, 88.1, 99.1. Listen, the music does not take the place of that of the Word of God. The Word of God, you need it daily. You know what I tell my students? I never tell them this. I never tell them how long to be in the Word of God. Because the moment I tell you, look, spend 30 minutes in God's Word, you know what you do? You go and you spend 30 minutes, and then you'll check it off, and you'll go, man, I'm holy. No, I would beg you this. Listen, open up the Word of God and just begin to read. And just stop when you want to stop. I'm a bad reader. If I can get a good paragraph in, I'm good. Because that's all I can handle, because I got to go back and think about that paragraph. Sanctification. For you and I to be in the will of God, we must realize something, that you and I, we must be in the process of sanctification. We must. And then lastly, we see here that we need to be filled with the Spirit. When you go to Ephesians, he tells me this. He says, listen, he says, wherefore not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God's will is that you be in His will. God's will is for you and I to live out His will as perfectly and as best we can, to a point that we want to hear those words one day, the well done, thou good and faithful servant. But when you get to verse 18, this is where it gets kind of strange for people. That filling of the Spirit is the part that people don't like, because when the Spirit takes over, then therefore it's no longer you controlling your life. It's God telling you what you ought to do with your time. That's right. With your time and with your talent and with your money. And then that way, now you're not control of it no more, and you don't like that. Watch what happens. He says this. Paul says, and remember, the whole reason all of this is happening is because of verse 14. There is those souls that need to be saved. There's those souls. Listen, church, you work around them every day. Your families are full of them. Mine is. And those are people that are lost and dying and going to hell. And they need to see. Now, hold on. It ain't that your walk is enough. I'm not going down that nonsense road. What I am telling you, though, is that by this walk of wisdom, they're going to see, they're going to hear, and they're going to know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He says this, you ready? He says, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, there's no person, no way in whatsoever, any wise individual that will ever take any advice from that of a drunk. A drunk would be someone that is dull of sense. Their senses are dulled. They're an individual that has tried to wash away all sense of reality. Because of why? Because of whatever may be taking place within their life. They are unwilling to live in the truth. And so therefore, because they're unwilling to live in the truth, they would rather drown their sorrows or drown their problems and just wash all the reality away. Some of you would sit here and go, well, thank God I'm not a drunk. I would tell you that you could also look at it this way, and that is there's many of us that drowns ourselves in that of the ways of the world, and we're so drunk with the ways of the world that we can't be filled with the Spirit. So, Pastor Scott, what are you talking about? Well, it goes back to that time, talent, and tithe. But yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Because see, a person that is sober-minded, a person that is being filled with the Spirit, would be a person that Jesus would have talked about, I don't know, back in John. I got one of these cool Bibles. It's red lettered. That means it's holy. And so John chapter 14, listen to what he says. John chapter 14 and verse 16 through 17. That's nonsense. I just say it though. Here we go. John 14 verses 16 through 17. And I, okay, Jesus, I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter. He is my comforter, church, that he may abide with you. Notice this, underline this word, with you forever. He's going to abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. You and I as a believer, y'all, we should. Neither knoweth him, but we know. I underline the word know because I'm not operating on my feelings. It ain't about how I feel. If you let music pump up your feelings. Listen, my question to you is, why does it happen when you read God's word? You should get excited. You should be broken. You should be moved by the word of God. For he dwelleth with you. Who does? The Spirit of God. Jesus says the Spirit of God is going to dwell with you and he shall be in you. I underline that word. He shall be in you because that's a promise from that of Jesus. And then he flips on over to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16 verses 13 through 15, he says this, Jesus again, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide. See, that's what I want guiding me. He will guide you into all truth. Now church, real quick, I don't know how anyone could stand under the teaching of a Benny Hinn. I don't know how you could do that. As a believer in Jesus Christ, someone that is being guided by all truth, that's being the truth of God's word. When you have these false teachers and these false preachers, and there's people that are sitting under that teaching, something in me would tell me, because of what Jesus says, that the Spirit ought to go, that's a lie. But hold on a minute. But if you and I, even though we sat under some great preaching here by Pastor Chris, if you and I are not in his word and we're growing daily and all we're doing is eating off whatever he preaches to us on Sunday morning, you too could be deceived very easily. Because see, all you know is what he knows. And if all you know is what he knows, then therefore you really don't know all that the Spirit knows. And that's who I want guide me. I want the Spirit of God to guide me, not the Spirit of Chris. Excuse me, Pastor Chris. He beat me up for that. He says this. He says, for he shall not speak of himself. That's the Spirit. That's why some of that music is nonsense. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. That's Jesus, the Spirit of God. It's pointing to Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you, that's me, all things that the Father hath of mine, are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now what would I want to be filled with? I do not want to be filled with the ways of the world. I do not want to be filled with that of the thoughts or that of the patterns or that of the nonsense or that of the foolishness of this world. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe there's two ways that you and I can do it according to God's word. One would be through much prayer. I believe that as an individual, that of a believer, Jesus Christ, you and I, we ought to be people that are praying without ceasing. We ought to be praying not just on Sunday morning, not just before we fill our belly, not right before we're going to take a test. We should be praying all the time in constant prayer with that of the one that is guiding us. Well, why do you say that? Well, I can tell you this. Paul would have prayed over 41 times that's recorded in just the letters that he has written to that of the churches. Over 41 times, church, you've got an apostle, Paul, praying prayers over people. What kind of prayers? Well, you'd find it if you read in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, you'd find a great prayer. It's a prayer that talks about the filling of the Spirit. And you and I need to understand something. I do believe this. If we're very aware of our surroundings, if we're very aware, listen to this, we're very aware of his will, I do believe we'll want to be filled with the Spirit. He says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, and I'll read every one. For this cause I bow my knees. He's bowing his knees, church, in humility, humbleness, recognizing that he is God and I am not. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, I need to remind myself of that daily, that I am nothing when it comes to the Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm in awe of his wonder. But wait a minute, if I just wake up and I just take my day as the way I take my day and I just live my day the best I can live my day and then I wonder why my day was so bad. I don't know. Did you start your day off right? He says this. He said, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That we, listen to this, I love this part, that he would grant you, Paul's saying that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. I want to be strengthened with, listen, with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It's a feeling of that of the Spirit. Christ may dwell. I circled the word dwell. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted, being rooted and grounded in love. That's not operating off your feelings. That's not operating off your emotions. That's operating on what I know to be true by that of God's word. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. The church doesn't want to go there. All we want is, listen, church, all the church wants is some carnival. All the church wants is some kind of cotton candy. All the church wants is some kind of fancy whatever. Hand me something quick. But I'm telling you that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we should want to dive deep into the Word of God. We should want to know the truths of God's Word. And listen, it does take work. It is work. I know it is. But it's rewarding. He says this, verse 19, and to know, I circled the word know, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we, listen, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. There's power there. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without end. And amen. You and I as believers, in order for us to be filled with the Spirit, to have a life that we're walking in wisdom, we need to pray, and we need to understand that it takes faith. And it's faith that is growing faith. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Scott? Well, in Acts, we're not going to turn there. Acts chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible tells me this, that they chose a man full of faith. That's a big word there, the word full. Acts chapter 11, verse 24, they were also talking to someone else, and he was full of the Spirit and of faith. We need to be people that are full of faith. Well, how do we fill ourselves with faith? Well, we walk in wisdom. As we walk in wisdom, as we walk in the light, and as we walk in love, guess what happens? We begin to be filled with faith, and we have hope, a hope that not hope I get to heaven one day. It's a hope knowing that I'm going to heaven one day, and it's my only hope. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the music that's on the radio. No, but listen, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 15, 13 tells me this. Now may the God of hope fill you, there it is, all joy and peace as you believe, as you have faith in him, so that you may, listen, you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happens, church, is something that many of us does not like. We begin to do something that is not normal to this world that's around us. We begin to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to our heart and to the Lord. We began to give thanks always for all things. I remember growing up, my grandma, Friday nights, that woman, man, she spoiled me rotten. I love my grandma. My grandma, when my grandma died, I told my mom one day, I said, Mom, not to belittle you none whatsoever, but I knew if there was any woman, if there was anyone that was praying for me in my ministry, it would be my grandma. I knew that. And so the day she died, I knew I lost a prayer warrior. And my mom says, don't you worry, I got it. And I'm like, okay, thanks, Mom. But when I was a kid, what I'd do is I'd go over there to my grandma's. And what I'd do is my grandma, she had these cabinets that had these toe kicks. I'm sure your cabinets got it as well. They make great garages, all right? As a kid, you have great imagination. And I can remember laying in the floor. She had that old linoleum floor that made good roads. I don't know if you ever seen one of them, but they're little bricks. They're fake bricks. If I can remember my grandmother, she's always humming. She was always singing one of the hymns. Amazing Grace, just as I am, have thine own way. I mean, that's my grandma in there humming those songs, singing those songs. And as a kid, I'm sure grandma would have never thought the impact that that would have had. But now I'm 49 years old. She's passed on and dead. But yet I can still remember the walk that my grandmother had. It must have been a wise walk because she was a joyful individual, or she wouldn't be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into her heart to the Lord. Because that's what someone that is spirit-filled does. When you and I are spirit-filled, you and I are joyful people. Not happy people, joyful people. Happiness is based upon your feelings and based upon your emotions. We don't need the happiness. What we need is joy. Joy is founded in the truth of God's Word. And when I know what God's Word says about one day me going home, I have no problem singing about those songs about one day I'm going to see Him. I have no problems with lifting up praise. I have no problems with singing the Behold My God. I can sing that one crazy in my truck, not in here. That's what God does to our lives. And church, you and I, I'm telling you, the reason why this is fearful for many of us today is because you have to let go of yourself, and you so much love yourself, you so much love your life, you so much love the comfortness of that of just doing what you want to do, you're not willing to be sold out for that of Jesus Christ, or as Paul would say, just to be spent for Him. When was the last time you were spent for that of Jesus Christ, not for one of your hobbies? Go read that. That's in 2 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 11 or 12. And what happens is, church, you and I, we begin to do the things that makes no sense to this world because you know what? We are not of this world. I love reading from dead people. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, and I close. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I love his commentary. It's pretty cool. It's not like normal commentaries. And there's hard things to read, but I enjoy it. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. Listen, and I'll read it slow. All these things guides the believer on his personal walk. All of these things, the love, the light, the wisdom. All of these things guides him on his personal walk and in his behavior towards others. And then he says to himself, listen to this, church, can you say this about yourself? And then he says this to himself, I am here to represent my family. Are you? See, someone that is walking a wise walk is someone that is here to represent. I am representing my family. And I am representing in the way that I walk, in the way of that of the Lord. He says, I am here to represent my family. I am here to represent, I'm a representative of my Father. I am here as a representative of His Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the angelic host. Are you? I belong to His family, church, and I must regard my time in this world primarily and essentially as an opportunity to tell men and women that there is another life, a life of glory, a life of holiness, a life shared with God. I see these poor people, do you? I love what one writer said. It would do us well, church. Listen to this. I know this sounds kind of morbid, but that's how I work with it. If you would begin to imagine on people's foreheads written the words hellbound. You say, well, that's kind of wrong. Well, can I tell you this? Until you ask them if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, then we can only assume that they're not. And if we assume that they're not, then that should cause us to want to ask them because I want to see no one burn in hell. Someone didn't want to see you burn in hell. Someone would have shared the faith and the truth with you. So my question to you is this, is you ready? Are you willing to see these poor people round about me in the bondage and the clutches of sin in its different forms? I do not care what form it takes. I am to try to bring these people to the light. That's what 2 Corinthians 4 tells me. I must try to awaken them. That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. I must be all things to all men, that by all means I may save some. I must therefore show this wisdom. That's the wise walk. In all its different forms and shapes and colors, let the whole spectrum become manifest or made known in and through me. Let everything about that of God be seen through me. So that by any means, somehow, some poor soul who is a victim of evil and of sin may be awakened from his sleep. If they're not a believer, they're dead. If they're not a believer, they're blind. If they're not a believer, they're of the God of this world. He is their Father. That's what the scriptures say, y'all. And if that be true, then my Bible tells me that I should be the one Now listen, ultimately I know it is God that does the saving, but some reason my Bible's telling me, listen, I need to be doing some waking up. I need to be doing some rattling of some cages. I need to be doing some stuff about, I don't know, snatching them from the fires of hell. I need to be doing some persuading of men. That's what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians. I persuade men. Are you persuading them? Or is it just one of those things of, well, I don't know, if God wants to save them, God can save them. No, that's nonsense. That's not what the Word of God says. You and I have a place in this. That's why we need to live wise lives. He says this. He says, let the whole spectrum become made known in and through me so that by any means, somehow, some poor soul who is a victim of evil and of sin may be awakened from his sleep, may arise from the grave and the death of sin and begin to look into the face of Jesus Christ and see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Is that your desire? I thought it was strange, right before I preached, we all sung a song, if all I had was Christ, Jesus is my life. Is Jesus your life? Then it ought to be evident in the way you walk. It ought to be evident. It ought to line up. It ought to be lining up with God's Word. And if it doesn't line up with God's Word, then your life is a fake. It's a false. It's a hypocrite. It's not true to God's Word. That's why, listen to me, I don't need someone else's opinion about whether I'm saved or lost. All I need to do is see God's Word. God's Word is what tells me of where I'm at and what I'm doing and how I ought to do it. God's Word should be the filter that we filter everything through our lives as a believer. It's God's Word. Psalm 19 says this. Psalm 19 says He reveals Himself to all men in a natural way. He reveals Himself to all men. This morning we got up, we saw the sunshine. He is God. Tonight when you see the sun go down, He is God. When you see the stars come out, He is God. Whenever you see the trees blow, He is God. When you see the rain come down, He is God. And listen to me, ready? And not many of us have thought about it much today, but I promise you, if you've breathed any today, and we've breathed all day long, you know what? It is God that has allowed you to be able to do that. My God has revealed Himself to all men. Amen. But my Bible also tells me this. But you're saved through the specific revelation, and that is of His Word. That's why you and I, we need to be proclaimers. We need to be persuaders. We need to be people that is walking in love, walking in light, and walking with wisdom. Father, we love You and we thank You for this day. And Lord, now as the pianist is coming and Lord playing softly, I do believe that as we preach and teach the Word, there is a response that is to be given, or Lord, to be offered to. And Lord, today, maybe there's someone here that does not know You as their Lord and Savior. And God, they've seen through that of Your Word. Lord, not through anything that I've said. It's through Your Word that, Lord, they know nothing about this God. That they know nothing about the truth. They don't know nothing about that of Jesus dying and dying for them. And that, God, I pray today that if that be that one in here, Lord, may they just come, Lord. And Father, may they make known to this room and then to the world around us that they are a follower of Yours. That, Lord, they've repented of their sin. Lord, they've acknowledged the great and mighty things that You've done for them. And that, Lord, they know that You're seated at the right hand of the Father. And today You are their Lord. And then, Lord, I pray for those that are in this room that are believers. Lord, we all could tune up on our walk. Lord, we all could do better. Lord, there's ways and places that we all come short. And so, Father, I pray, may You show those to us through Your Word. Lord, not through anything that I have said. God, not through what Pastor Chris has said. Because, Lord, those things, while they're great, and Lord, while they may be good, Lord, it's from Your Word. It's Your Word that cuts. It's Your Word that pierces. It's Your Word that brings change. So, Lord, I pray, may You bring change to our lives today. Lord, it's not comfortable. Lord, I tell people often, there's nothing convenient about serving You. Lord, You're an inconvenient God. Because, Lord, when I serve You, I'm not about me anymore. I'm all about You. And, Lord, I go where You tell me to go. I say what You tell me to say. Lord, I live the way You tell me to live. And now, Lord, it's not my life to live. Lord, may You use each one of us in a mighty way. And Lord, may you use your word. Lord, may it continue to bring change to our lives. And God, may we give you the glory and honor. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for all you've done, all the truth that is found in your word. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.